Good afternoon, everybody. I remembered it's the afternoon. Good to be here again. One or two people asked me how David Silcox was, so I'll just take a moment to update you. I saw him last night and during the week, and he's getting quite better. You probably know that he had some lumps in his blood, clots in the blood, in his lungs. He was given some treatment after about 5 or 6 hours in hospital and given some medication, and he had to take a measure of 30 milligrams or whatever it was, I've forgotten the name. But about a week ago, they reduced that down to 20 milligrams, so you know, the medication is doing him good, he's feeling better, and he should be getting another test in 2 weeks' time, and that will hopefully put us right where we ought to be, or he ought to be. Now, I think all of us know how vulnerable Scripture is. And I thank you very much for the reading that we had today in John chapter 10. But I think I find all Scripture is useful. On a particular day, I find that the Scripture that I'm referring to me on that moment is most important. But all Scripture is given to us by God, and so we're blessed by that. I just want to go now back to John chapter 10 from the reading, and I'm going to pick it up in the middle. It's a very important little section of Scripture here. You know, if we should take the time to meditate on it, all of the information in there for our blessings and for our good is very valuable. But I'm going to start now in John chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." We need to keep that in mind, because he is the door of the sheep. It's the way that we go in. You know, sheep live in a pasture, or should stay in a pasture, which is protected. It's got walls around it so that the wolves and so forth can't get in, and also so that they can't get out and stray all over the place. So he is the door through whom we go. Verse 8, "All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them." And so there is a power in this world that is against us, and they are out to steal from us. You know, the devil steals things from us. He steals the opportunity for people to come to understand the Word of God. He steals the opportunity for people to understand the truth. But we are blessed because Jesus leads us to the truth through his example of living and through our reading of the Gospels. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." But see, Jesus is the perfect shepherd. I'd like you to turn over with me to Psalm chapter 23. This is going to be the focus of the message today. Though we are given the incredible blessings being called by God to the truth and to the blessed way of eternal life. In Psalm chapter 23 then, in verse 1, We read, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." I'm going to break these verses down a little bit so we can think about them and appreciate them as I'm sure God would like us to see them. First of all, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord, who is the Lord? Well, in the Hebrew, this word is El Shaddai. It means Almighty God. There's no one else above God. No one else has got any power that can be in any way compared to His. He is the Almighty. And what a blessing that is for us, that we can be worshipping that God, so that we know that He cares for us. Because He is our shepherd. And then it says that He is my shepherd. He belongs to us. He is our personal shepherd. He's the one that cares for us, knows us, looks after us, understands us, guides our life, loves us, concerned for us, and wants us to be successful. But we, because we're sheep, we need His help as our shepherd. And of course we know that the shepherd is cared for, or cares for the sheep. And that's a blessing we all have. Then he goes on to say, "And I shall not want." Let's just turn back to, keep your finger there, or a marker or something, because we'll be going backwards and forwards to a few other scriptures. But turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Our shepherd supplies our need. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." All your needs. Now, all we've got to do, we just need to believe the Bible, the Word of God. I know it isn't easy sometimes, particularly under stress and trial, but He will supply everything. Now, not all of your wants. You know, we all want lots of things in life. I'm afraid we're not going to get everything that we want. But God will supply all of our needs. And we can have every confidence that our shepherd will do that. So we have this wonderful psalm here, the one that I think most people know, Psalm 23. Even people who are not particularly religious or Christian, they know of this psalm. And it's a popular psalm to which many hymns are referred to. And we need to realise that as sheep, we are like sheep. And I just want to mention a few pointers about sheep, what they are. And I hope you won't be offended by this, because it's the way things are. Comparatively, we are like sheep. And one of the things that sheep are is stupid. You know, aren't we stupid? Without the Word of God, without God's help, we just aimlessly wander around. We're like sheep that don't have a barrier or a hedge around us or a fence. We just go off anywhere. Without the Word of God, without the teaching that's supplied, we'll just wander away, just like sheep. And there are wolves out there, and there really are wolves out there, who want to devour us. And of course, the chief wolf is Satan, the devil. He wants more than anything to take your eternal life away from you. And he does it through various means, or tries to do it through various means. But thankfully, we have a wonderful God. We also need to keep in mind that sheep also are stubborn. You know, they don't want to go where they ought to go. But sheep do have a leader. And they follow the leader. And that is what we can be thankful for, that we have a leader that will lead us in the way that we should go. Sheep are also defenseless. You know, a sheep is the most harmless creature just about in existence. You know, every other animal seems to have its anger at times, gets upset at times, might attack you, bite you, lions, all other sorts of animals will do this. But a sheep, poor little sheep, that is defenceless. And so are we. It's only that God has so much concern for us that we are not defenceless. You know, people in the world, in some of the countries in this world, suffer greatly because they are defenceless. You know, they're countries that are ruled by despots, dictators. People have got no interest in the people. They just want, get whatever they can. And they exploit the people. Sheep are like that. They can get exploited so easily. But we have a shepherd that would take care of us. And there are many other negative aspects in a sheep's life. You know, they're prone to wander. They're prone to become nervous and uneasy at times. And without God helping us and being with us, we can be like that. There are many people in this world that are suffering, that don't have a proper guide in their life. And they're unhappy, they're miserable, they're suffering in so many ways. Homeless, some people. Easily led, other people. People are subject to the bad people in this world, and it seems that they've got no help. You know, where are the police? You know, I was listening to a woman talking about a loss of one of her children. Where were the police to help her? Well, of course, there aren't enough police. And if there were, they still couldn't avoid all the problems. But we have someone to protect us, and he does, he helps us. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9. You know, we are just like sheep. Matthew chapter 9, we read about Jesus. He's going around Galilee, talking to the people, helping them. And on this particular instance, in Matthew chapter 9, and starting with verse 36, we read, Jesus, this is verse 35, actually, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. It's the same today. But we do have a few shepherds that are not good shepherds, as we read in John chapter 10. So here he was, he had compassion because the people didn't have a shepherd. Now the shepherds that were supposed to be there were not doing the job. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees and various other spiritual leaders. But they weren't really concerned about the people because this is why this section is in here. You know, so they were without a shepherd because the shepherds were not doing what they should. Helping them, guiding the people, encouraging them, feeding them, giving them the things that they needed in life. They didn't have it, but Jesus was there, and he was helping the people in the villages. No wonder people loved him and thought so much of him, because here was someone who cared for them. And that someone, of course, was Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 16, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us, because God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. No, God loves us. We don't have to fear. You know, we have someone that cares for us. Someone that will help us, that will supply our needs. How wonderful that is. We have that wonderful shepherd that does that. In verse 2 of Psalm 23, we read, "He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the quiet waters." You know, sheep have to be led to pastures, because particularly in the area of Israel in the time of Jesus, there wasn't much pasture land, but the shepherd knows where the pasture is. So he takes the sheep to one pasture, and they feed happily for several days maybe. And then when the grass is cut right down, he leads them to another pasture. And he provides them the pasture that they need. And we are the same. We need to be led to the pasture, and God leads us there in our lives. In Psalm chapter 1 we read, "A supply for us." Blessed and happy is a man, we've got that song, haven't we? That does never go astray. But we'll pick this up in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. "And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit by in its seasons." You know, we are also like trees. And we are led, and we are placed in an area where there's a plentiful supply of water, because obviously without water a tree will die. But we're led by the still waters. You know, we're not planted in the middle of a stream that's rushing down so hard and fast that it knocks the tree down. You know, we are planted by the waters, where there's an adequate amount of water that the roots can take up the nourishment that comes through the water. You know, Jesus said to us, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we need daily bread. He's really talking about the spiritual bread, not so much the food. Of course, we get that. God supplies that. But also he supplies the spiritual food that we need. This is the feeding. This comes from the pasture. This comes from the providence of God. And he gives that to us very happily, and he blesses us in that way. And because we're in that stream, or by the stream, we're able to produce the fruit, says it, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. You know, we are put in a place that is just absolutely right for us, that will help us, that will enable us to be blessed by God with the right spiritual nourishment to keep us going not only through the day but also through the following days. But we do need to realise that we need it on a daily basis. So now back to verse 3 in Psalm 23. "He restores my soul. He guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So we may be ill and poorly and lacking in energy, we may be tired, but God is there to restore our souls. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. There's a wonderful section of scripture here that is very encouraging. Because our shepherd leads us to see these things. Psalm Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. It reads, "Do you not know, haven't you heard, that everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. Of course, it's called the name, one of the names of God, that he is the self-sufficient one. So he does never tire. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. See, he restores our soul. We all get, from time to time, weary in a spiritual sense. Maybe it's our own fault. Maybe we're not praying enough or studying God's word enough or meditating on the word of God. It's there for us. He leads us there to what we need. But sometimes we don't do what we should be doing. But he does give strength to the weary. And to him who lacks, he increases power. So our lives should be a life of steady growth, receiving the power that we need to live in the way that we should. So though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. So if you're in a weak state, if you're feeling tired spiritually or even physically, we can look to God to give us that strength, that new strength that we need. It says then that we will mount up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. That's God restoring our soul, our life, our spiritual life, our physical life. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, we're never going to have any problems or difficulties, because we know that we do. And the intercessory prayer brought that out, and does bring it out continuously. But, you know, we have that very special help that God can provide, and we can turn over to Romans chapter 8, see a little bit more of this, the love that God has for us, in wanting to provide for us, wanting to strengthen us, restore our lives, as it says, restore our souls. And here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 we read, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." And it's the Spirit of God that sustains us. We need to be led by it. We need him to lead us and not resist him. Because it does say that those that are in the flesh do not please God. That's here in verse 8. Those who are in the flesh, those who live a fleshly life, whatever it may be for any one of us, cannot please God. And you know, we need to please God. It's the only way that we can make spiritual growth and progress and come to the place where God wants us to be at the end of our physical lives. However, it says, "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, so that though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who rose Christ, or Jesus Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under no obligation to the flesh." You know, we do lead a life of the flesh. Part of that is necessary, but we can so easily be led away from those things that are important, the spiritual aspects of life. But then it's, you know, we do not owe anything to the flesh. We are not obliged to it. You know, we are obliged, if we're Christians, to the Spirit of God, the guidance of God. "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die.
see. But God, in His love, provides this nourishment that we need. He leads us to that nourishment. He provides that which we need. As Spurgeon says, but if the Spirit, if you're in the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we are being blessed by God. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at a couple of verses here. Let's look at verse 16 for a start. This is Jesus talking about something very special. In a sense, it's a new dispensation. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. So now Jesus is the helper to the disciples. They've been with Him for 3.5 years, and He was helping them through their lives, telling them how they should live, teaching them everything that they need to know. But Jesus now says, you know, because this is the setting when He's going to go to His death, when He's going to be crucified and return to the Father. He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. He goes on to say, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And Jesus comes to us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a special job, which we can't go into today, but the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and help us. And then in verse 26, it says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So then we have to realize that Jesus and God have sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to live in us, so that we can go in the right way, and so that we can have all of those things that we need, that we just talked about very briefly in Psalm chapter 23. As He leads us in the path of righteousness. This is the Holy Spirit leading us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And you know, God's name, there's no other name above the name of God. And when God says something, that's it. And His name is so precious and wonderful and real and encouraging, that He said, I set by my name everything that I've promised. There is no greater than me, and I have said I will do this, I'll do that, and I will. For my name's sake. You know, there was a time when Israel, they often did this obviously, but there was a time when Israel was not doing the things they should, they were not obeying God, not listening to Him. And Abraham said to God, well, you know, there weren't Israel then, but they're people of God. And he said to God, well, if there are 30 people in this town, will you spare it? And God said, okay, if there are 30 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will save them. And then he said, well, of course, Abraham knew there weren't. So he said, well, what about 20? You know, the 20 righteous people there, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? And God says, well, okay, yeah, if there are 20, I'll spare it. Then he says, well, what about if there are just 10? Will you still spare it? And God says, yeah, I'll do that. What about 5? Yeah, I'll save them, I won't kill them. Of course, Abraham knew that there were no righteous people around. But you see, Abraham said, you know, don't kill them, because we don't want people to say, you know, your God is a useless God. You know, you can't rely on him. So the name of God was very important. But of course, there were no righteous people. So Sodom and Gomorrah suffered. Let's go on to verse 4 of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Now, a valley is a metaphor for dark times. You imagine a hilly country, let's say in some parts of Wales, which is quite hilly, you've got all the valleys, you're in all in Wales. And what happens is the sun goes around, and when it goes behind a hill, there's a shadow. And it's dark, gets dark. It says that he's saying, even though we walk in this shadow of death, I will fear no evil, you know, dark times. You know, the sun is blocked. Well, what are some of these dark times? Well, we've already heard about a few of them today in the intercessory prayer. But let's have a look at a few of them. Severe illness, dark time. And many people go through severe illnesses. I went through a severe illness last year. And for 4 days, I didn't know. I really felt at death's door. I was so poorly. It was a form of super flu. But God brought that through me. Brought me through. You know, accidents. What about accidents? We all, well, not all of us, but oftentimes people get accidents. They are dark times. You know, maybe your car smashed up. And your insurance won't cover a new one or a replacement. That's difficult, isn't it? Because many of us, not so much in London, I was talking earlier on with someone, and he said, well, he doesn't need a car now in London because he can get anywhere that he wants. But, you know, some of us are living out in sticks like Rickmansworth or Watford. You know, we need cars to get around. And if we don't have a car, it can be quite an unhappy time for us. That's one of the dark places in the valleys. What about violent crime? Some of us are on occasion are subject to that. Financial problems, panic attacks, depression, fears of terrorism, and I guess some people in London are fearful of gangs, with some of them going around with knives, killing people, and we've had so many deaths this year already. It's dreadful, it's a terrifying time. So all around us there are these valleys in the shadow of death. It's a shadow of. It's not necessarily a reality, and for Christians, because God is our shepherd, he's leading us, so that they are just shadows, they are not reality. Now I know sometimes they are, but what I'm saying here is that God has said, I will look after you. That's what David said here in this psalm. I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, sheep are led by a shepherd with a staff. I was in Greece about 10 or 15 years ago. And as we were travelling in this bus through the mountains, I just looked out, and down in the valley, I saw about 100 black sheep. They're all black. And there they were following a shepherd. And the shepherd, I mean, I didn't see it, but a shepherd will normally, in those places, have a crook. You know, a staff and a crook. And the end, a little hook that comes around so they can grab hold of the leg maybe if the sheep is not going where it should, or around the neck. And the staff itself would be a club so that if any wild animals try to attack the sheep, they would be able to defend them. And that's the picture that David is setting out here. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. And David also went through a difficult time, because for about 10 years or more he was pursued by King Saul. Let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, as I said, Saul was pursuing David for years, and many times David escaped death by the skin of his teeth. But actually, of course, God was the one that was helping him, protecting him, looking after him. And if we read in Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse 5, we will read what David would have read. He would have read this in the scriptures, because this comes from Joshua, the book of Joshua. But here in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 13, and verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Okay. Being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. And why? Well, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid of what man can do to me. We don't have to be frightened of anything. We may be in the shadow of the valley of death, but God is there to be with us and to help us, and we can hold him to that. Now, there's a time in our lives when problems and difficulties come upon us, and that's something that we have to contend with. But in general principle, in general terms, God is right there with us to protect us and look after us as our shepherd. In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know whether any of you may remember, but back in the early 60s, at Ambassador College in Bricket Wood there, we used, during the festival times, we would have people coming for our holy days, and for the festival itself, as we kept them in those days. And people would bring food, what we called a potluck. And we had tables, just like those over there. We had about four or five tables, and they were absolutely laden with food. All nice chicken legs and slices of turkey and beef, all fruit, everything that you could want and love for the day. And it was very appetizing. But it was there. A table. God lays a table before us with everything that we need in our lives. If we're looking for it, and we should look for it, the Word of God tells us what we can look for, but it is there. God prepares that table for us. But as we read, it said that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter who wants to get at you. And of course the main enemy is the devil. He's also got his many followers, and actually spirit beings, but also people that are led by him. Human beings are led by him, guided by him. Many of them, and these are enemies. But as I prepared this table in the presence of them, when God says, I will do this, or I will provide this, I will help you in this way, he means it. Doesn't matter what those enemies are doing, they cannot stop it, because God has prepared that table for us. And it says, you have anointed my head with oil. Now, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, which we've already read, that God has sent for us, to help us, to be with us, to guide us, to teach us. We read in Timothy, 2 Timothy, that God has given to us not a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. These are the elements that we need to keep us going, to help us through our lives. My cup overflows, it says there, at the end of verse 5. There's so much sufficiency that God will supply. He'll supply all of our sufficiency. Wonderful blessings that we have as God's people, having God as our shepherd leading us through our lives. And we read then in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I can turn with me to, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. That's a very encouraging section of scripture here. And we start with verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You know, that table that God's provided is there. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we can ask according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You know, God supplies it all. He's got a table before us and we rejoice before him because of what he has supplied here. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, I've read this verse at least once or maybe twice here before, but I find it very encouraging. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, we are involved in the gospel. You know, the gospel that will bring us eternal life. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, now I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the return of Jesus Christ. Now God is always going to be there as our shepherd, to lead us, to guide us, to help us, to supply our every need. I'd like you to turn with me finally to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm 16. Now we've seen that we are like sheep with all of their failings. The sheep that actually need every bit of help that they can get. And it said there in Psalm chapter 23, they are who I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do we know what that's talking about? That's talking about the kingdom of God. We will be in that kingdom forever. Why? Because the good shepherd has led us that way. And here in Psalm chapter 16 is a wonderful verse. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. So God will be with us in the kingdom of God. And at your right hand there are pleasures forever. Forever. And that's not right now, but it will be. You know, our good shepherd has led us away from all of the dangers and all the problems that would destroy us, to give us every single thing that we need in our lives. He'll feed us, look after us, protect us from our enemies, and give us all of those blessings that we need for success as a Christian. And so I think it's a very wonderful thing that we can thank Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, who cares for us, looks after us, and wants the very best for us.
Just another announcement before we finish. We've received very sad news of the passing of Mrs. Frances Watkins, the widow of Mr. Lejeune Watkins, a pillar of our church. I'm sure many of us remember Mr. and Mrs. Watkins, and they used to sit at the back of the church, and they were with us for many years. We have no funeral details as yet, but hope to receive them in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.